So I want to share two very powerful encounters. One earlier this week, one this morning. God has a great, great weapon up his sleeve. Amen. I don't talk to you about the love of God, but I want to talk to you about several different things. His love is quite marvelous. Not only will it build you up, it'll show you things that you couldn't see in 19 years of ministry. Kind of wreck you in the process too. You need to be wrecked by God every once in a while. It'll really help you. Not by man. Man wrecks you. That's not a good thing. But when God wrecks you, he lets you see things. See things that you couldn't see before. If you don't see those things, you'll carry them into eternity and you'll have to see them in front of him. And that's not going to be very fun. Because if you carry them into eternity and you have to see it in front of him, you can't change it. I mean, he'll wipe that away, but you don't have an opportunity to change that part. And it'll cost you hugely. His love is going to be able to show you things that nothing else can show you. I know every one of you know God loves you. What I want to teach you how to do is not only know that he loves you, but to dwell. Say, dwell in his love. It's a difference between knowing that God loves you and dwelling daily in his love. To dwell daily in his love, you have to be with him. You have to know where that perfect love is released, and it's without measure. Now, a lot of times because of the barriers you grow up with in the society we grow up and in the different things that happen to us, whether we were raised in a dysfunctional environment or whether you were abused or words were spoken over you, had a harsh father, no parents, orphan, whatever the case. Or if you were raised in a great home and you came to church and were wounded there, you know. Church is a place where a lot of, it's supposed to be healing, but a lot of people get messed up in church, you know, because people are people. God uses people with strongholds. Have you figured that out yet? He calls them to the ministry with strongholds. It's like, isn't that guy supposed to be perfect up there? You should read about the Corinthian church. Division in chapter 1, division in chapter 3. Fornication, incestual fornication, chapter 5. Chapter 6 was suing each other at the law. They were taking each other, their own brethren, to court. Then in chapter 6, there was also fornication. In chapter 7, there was more of that with idolatry. Chapter 11, there was all of it. He addressed all of it. In chapter 12, he is the gifts, administrations, governments, and callings of God. I mean, he gives the gifts to that church. I wouldn't give them anything. Would you give them anything? But God loves you like that. You want to know what God loves looks like. Look at when he calls us and the condition we're in. So excited to take on the world. We're so messed up and we don't even know it. And he calls us messed up like that. Dysfunctional, but he put his anointing on a dysfunctional person. And you serve him like that. But then there's a day we grow up. There's a day we have to grow up. He never called us to depend upon that system of just having a gift and running around the world with a gift. He called us to grow up. But how do you grow up? How do I grow? I mean, everyone loves the love of God. If I could get you where that watering hole is, you drink forever. Once you find that place in him, you'll never go back. Now, I said this before, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm about to say, but the love of God is easy. But it wasn't easy. But it now is easy. What I mean by that, if you find it the right way, by faith, by promise, by what he said, where he said it was, and if you go in there by faith, faith will tear the walls down. And it'll let you move in, and then the love of God will really tear them down. Amen? And once you start moving in the dimensions of the love of God, it opens for you. And what seemed impossible, you could walk into every day. To such a degree, there are some real powerful treasures that's sitting inside the love of God. The love of God opens a realm to us. And it's going to open in this generation. The love of the Father is going to open around to us. That probably hasn't been seen since the early church. And I want to share something that happened this morning because God's got a secret weapon. And wow, is it powerful. But I have to share something else that happened earlier this week. You know, we've been teaching along these lines how Adam fell. And it's kind of interesting when he fell, God, first thing he said, he says, now you're going to have to go get your bread from the earth where I gave it to you freely in the garden. You know, in the garden, man never worked for his provision. Man didn't work. Man administrated an abundance that was given to him freely. His job was to administrate, manage, and oversee what was already given. He wasn't called to work for it. That was a result of the curse. When man fell, when Adam fell, and it said, now the earth is not going to bring forth, it's going to bring forth thorns and thistles now. Where it brought forth freely, it's going to bring forth thorns. And by the sweat of your brow, Adam, you're going to have to go get your food. By your own labor. And that's where what we call works was born. That's where human sufficiency was introduced in the human race. You were born in that system, by the way. And then you had the works of the law that was added to that, which is a double works. And ever since then, man's been trying to work themselves up into the perfection that God created them to be. Because as soon as Adam fell, what did he do? He went, he hid. And they clothed themselves. They hid in fear and they hid from God. Because they bought the original lie. If you'll eat from this tree, you'll be as God. You'll be perfect. And ever since then, man's been trying to be perfect in all the ways we try to excel at perfection. That's where control was introduced. That's where fear was introduced. That's where works was introduced. You're born in that system when you opened your eyes to this world. When you were born again legally, that curse was cut off from your life. Because Jesus, isn't it amazing? Not only did he shed his blood, he shed his blood with thorns. They put a crown of thorns on his head because the earth was going to bring forth thorns. So he had to shed blood, but he took the very thing that God cursed the earth with, and that thorn penetrated the cells and the membranes of his mind, and it went all the way in. You know why? Because he was in substitution for the mind of Adam. Because you were born with the mind of Adam, but God's freely given you the mind of Christ. But he had to break that curse off of you. And legally, that curse has been broken. But a lot of us, we have legal rights, but we're still walking around operating the old way with a legal right to operate in the new because the old way had been broken. And if there's any one thing I struggled with over the years of my life strongly was works, Ishmael, laboring. I mean, I didn't mean to do it. I was just so ambitious. The enemy will take your love and shove it over into the side of works. And you'll try to produce the kingdom by your works. And you can get in a lot of trouble with it. I did it so much in the ministry. The God had to remind me, you know, it was a year that I checked out of ministry. Chuck became the pastor. He still is the pastor. But Sunday mornings, I went to Saturday nights. God had to break. He was breaking things. Amen. Some things will have a stronger hold on you than other things. There's weaknesses, yeah, and you're trying to get over them, yes, but some of them are so integrated down into your foundation, you don't know how to be free. You don't know the difference until something much more powerful comes along and separates it from your life. And when it separates, you can see. God's word can do that, and God's love can do that. And when you dwell with him, a whole lot can happen. God never designed you to work all this Christianity out in this jurisdiction that you live in. It's kind of like love. Love is patient. Love is kind. So you're just grinding the teeth to try to be patient because you're impatient by nature and you're grinding your teeth to try to be patient. And the second you're deciding you're going to be kind, it only takes a spark to bring out the old man. You think God's calling you to walk in agape, God kind of awesome love and find it in your own little flesh suit? Go try that. See how far it gets you. I challenge you to go walk in love for 1 month in yourself and see how far that'll get you. But when you get exposed to the Father's love, just glorious love that melts you down to the ground and leaves you wanting for more and gives you more. It's so eternal. It's like, how much is here? How much do you love me? And he loves you so great, and especially when you can find it every day and you know how to get there. And my mission is to get you there. If I can help lead you to him, I can give you nothing. But if I can get you to him, he can give you all things. The church needs to start patterning themselves after the image of their pastors. They start to pattern themselves after the image of God. And the pastors need to start leading them to God, not themselves. They're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to become anything. Trust me, you don't want my old image. You might want the new one, praise the Lord. He's working on that one. Can't see it right now. It's all underground. Hallelujah. But it's sure good under there. Glory to God. It was something that happened when I was in there with him. Something really powerful happened this week. I was moving strongly in love of God almost every day. So I was just on my way up there, and it wasn't nothing happening there with him. And he said, go back to the rest. I'm like, okay, that's the pattern, the door, the throne of grace, the rest, divine union with the Lord, union with the Father. All these things build. A lot of times if I can't move up into the higher levels, I'll go back into the rest. And I teach you how to move into that place. And something happened. The thorns came before me. Or I came before them. I don't know how it is. I saw the redemption of the thorns. And I saw the soldiers beat the thorns into his head. And I saw the blood shed. I saw him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where his sweat was mingled with his own blood. And it was dripping into the earth to redeem the earth and break. When I saw that in the spirit and I went before it, something just... It like change started snapping everywhere. I'm like, what is going on? Sometimes God will have to tell you what he's doing. He said, you were born with this. And you've overcome much of it by pushing it down and living in Christ above it. You know, that's what we do. We discipline ourselves. We push those capacities down. He goes, but I don't want you to push it down. I want to destroy the yoke altogether. And the blood of Jesus severed that yoke. He broke that thing. I was so excited. I mean, the glory that came out of there. I mean, I'm telling you, if you understood what's in that place, you would sell everything right now to run to him. You would run to him, I promise you. He cannot lie. If he says it's a treasure greater than any other treasure, run to it, and you'll find it there. It's worth the battle. It's worth all the faith you'll give it to march into that place. Because you don't know what you're missing. Christianity was never designed to be lived in this jurisdiction. Worked out in this jurisdiction. You were designed to be with him. Where he is. Dwell with him. And to behold his glory. He died for that express purpose. Father, I will they be with me. Where I am. You gotta get that compass. A lot of people are trying to move into God, but they're not enough compass. You got to get the word of the Lord. Fill your spirit till it's overflowing and you'll move in. Amen. Forever. Well, he said, this will free a lot of things up. I didn't really realize it, but I started seeing the next couple of days a strong advancement in the love of God. And he says, you don't realize how that original curse affects your ability to receive my love. My love is unconditional. It cannot be earned. The nature of self wants to earn. The nature of self wants to perform. You cannot perform for God's love. You cannot earn God's love. You have to receive it. But more importantly, you have to receive it where he is. You have to learn to receive. A lot of people don't know how to receive. They don't feel like they're worthy to receive. God's been dealing with that recently. Sometimes rejection's so set within you, you don't know how to receive from man, you don't know how to receive from God. That messes you up. I don't know if you know that. That'll mess you up. That'll get you out of alignment. When you're trying to walk into God, you have all these invisible walls and you don't know why they're there. You might still be believing what your daddy said about you, if he wasn't the right dad. You don't know until God can flush that out. I understand now why he moves us into the rest first. The rest is where he ceased from all his labors. It's where you cease not only your labors to bring forth the kingdom of God. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that builds. But you cease from your labors to find love, labors of being accepted, all the things humans do. You cease from your image disorder. You cease from it. You enter in what's already been done. That's grace. The number one thing in the receiving of grace is you cannot obtain it by works. It cannot be obtained by an old system. And that's what people are doing. They're bringing an old system into a new system of grace, and they hit an invisible wall because that old system is still trying to earn it when it has to freely receive it. Amen. It'll set you free in areas you don't know you need set free in. God's going to set you free. Say, set me free, Lord. Isn't that glorious? 1 John 4 said, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. See, you've known it. Chuck had a really powerful word on that. What was that you said about known? We've been intimate and we've believed the love God has. You have to believe the love that God has towards you. Amen. Glory to God. Now, what he says here, he says, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And he goes on to say, how can you say you love God and you dwell in God and hate your brother? You know why people can do that? Because their definition of love, because they're dwelling in what they think's love, but they're walking in hatred. But I can tell you for a fact, you cannot dwell in that kind of love and hate anybody. Because the first thing it does is start wanting to restructure all your relationships. You want to get right with everybody. It does that to you. You don't go in there and think, I'm going to try to be patient. You come out patient. You go in impatient. You come out patient. You go in vaunted. You come out low. You go in agitated. You come out gentle and kind. His love does that for you. That's the beauty of it. But to say, oh, yeah, I love God. And you see them ripping their brother. I dwell with God. Yeah, I know him. You're not dwelling in that kind of love. That's an impossibility. It's too powerful to leave you the way you are. It's too powerful to leave anger in you. You cannot dwell in love and be angry. You can't dwell in God and have a problem with somebody. It's impossible. You're just dwelling in what you think is God. You're probably dwelling in his presence. But to dwell in his love is a whole different thing. Because he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love. God is love. And he noticed the word dwell. He didn't say visit. Dwell. What's going to solve our problems is we're going to dwell in God. You got to get up into the Father. Amen. When you get there, he's going to fix you up. He fixes real good. His love is real intense. It's real glorious, and it's very deep, and it's very wide. And it hurts sometime. Because it will show you the old man. And the Lord told me something. Because the tendency is so strong to look back. And the Lord said, now listen, you need to understand that old capacity, but you can't sit there and dwell there. You repent, I promise you. I don't care how super spiritual you are. When you get in that love, you're going to start repenting. You're going to start crying and weeping uncontrollably. You're going to see things about yourself you don't want to see. And you're going to see some glorious things about him you do want to see. And he's going to change you. And it's going to happen very fast. I can't believe what's happened in a week. 1 week. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next week. Tomorrow. He melts stuff down that's been there for 49 years. He's a melting machine. I'm pretty good. I got it. You know, I'm pretty good. In your standard, in his standard, don't carry the pretty good standard into glory and find out you missed the mark big. We're not going to hit the mark unless we get up into him and let him show us and conform us and change us in his image. Why wouldn't you want to be there? He's so glorious to be with. You dwell with him. You abide. The Lord's greatest desires for you to know the Father the way he knows him. The Holy Spirit's greatest desires for you to know the Lord. They're all pushing you upwards, see. And the Father's got some stuff. Sharon had sent me a part of the Final Quest chapter. And how many of you read the Final Quest? Raise your hand. That's the book of this century. If you haven't read the Final Quest, you must read that book. It's by Rick Joyner, but it's weighty. It's some very powerful encounters in that book. But this particular one was, and he saw the whole kingdom of God like a mountain and going up the mountain and all the different things, and just amazing. But I want to just share a few things about the top of the mountain. Then I want to share something that happened this morning. 15-minute look into the future this morning. You think you're going to change the world with what you presently see. The world's not going to change with what we presently see in the church. So don't worry about it. That's why God's not worried about it. He's got something that's not operating yet. That's fixing to roll through planet Earth. Anyway, okay, so they're at the top of the mountain. I just want to read some of this to you. It's pretty amazing. So we started up into the higher level. Soon we happened upon a garden that was the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. And over the entrance to this garden was written, the Father's unconditional love. It was the most glorious and inviting doorway I had ever seen. Notice that doorway? So we're compelled to enter. As soon as we did, we saw the tree of life in the middle of the garden. It was still guarded by angels of awesome strength. They looked as if they had been expecting us. So we had the courage to pass them and walk up the tree. Now notice, the Father's love was at the top of the mountain. What did I tell you? You got to get up to the top of the mountain. The door is in the tabernacle here, but you got to go up into the mountain with God. Amen? He says, one of them said, those who make it to this level, who know the Father's love, can eat. So you got to go to where the Father's love is. Well, doesn't God love me here? Of course he loves you here. He loves you unconditionally here. But have you noticed his love just doesn't flow freely here? In services it does. His love will come upon you, yes. But his perfect love, he wants you to come to where he is. That's why Jesus said, Father, I will they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that I have with you. Be where I am, seated at the right hand of God. He says, with every bite, I like that. I loved everything and everyone more. I'm starting to experience that. It's glorious. You want to make things right with people. You want to make things right in your own life too. It just does that to you. Then my enemies started to come to mind and I love them too. You're not going to have any enemies when God's love gets a hold of you. The feeling was soon greater than anything I'd ever experienced. Even the peace he called on Galatians 2:20 that was crucified with Christ, that was part of the mountain that they went through. Then I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, this is now your, listen to this, daily bread. And it shall never, look at this, be withheld from you. You may eat as much and as often as you like, for there is no end to my love. It's there every day! You know the thing about his love? It tears all the walls down, so it makes it easier to get in. It makes it easier to stay with him because there's no more walls. See, the walls is what separates you. Glory to God. I said this the other day. They went in promised land. First thing they did, they went to a walled city and tore them down. That was God signifying there'd be no walls in the promised land. So you start entering the promised land with God, he's going to tear down your walls. The ones you have and ones you don't know you have. Most of the ones that you don't know you have is the ones he's after. Amen. Those are the ones can't be seen and the ones keeping you moving up. I have no idea how long this worship lasts. They started worshiping in there. It could have been months. There was simply no way to measure time in that kind of glory. For a time I closed my eyes because the glory I was seeing with my heart was as great as what I was seeing with my physical eyes. You need to hear this part. Do you hear that? The glory that he was seeing in his heart was as great as what he could see in your physical eyes. When you start to hang out in the glory, that realm gets as great as this one. You see it so clearly. Then the angel explained, what you see with the eyes of your heart is more real than what you see with your physical eyes. I had made that statement many times, but how little did I truly walk in it. The Lord dwells within you. You have taught this many times, but now you must live it. For you've eaten from the tree of life. When you start eating from the realm of God's glory, you'll start seeing the kingdom. It'll start being glorified and magnified in ways you cannot presently understand. And this realm gets smaller and that one gets bigger. Right now, the enemy wants to magnify this realm because this is the realm he uses to control people with, and he wants to diminish the kingdom. He wants to diminish the kingdom to come into church on Sunday morning, 5-minute prayer time. You fall in love with Jesus. You're not thinking about how long do I have to spend. You're thinking about, but I don't want to leave. When you're with him, you don't want to leave him. 5-minute prayer time is for people who never crossed the jurisdictional boundary. They're praying here in this jurisdiction. Their flesh is running their life. Listen, if all you're going to do is pray here in this jurisdiction, I wouldn't pray more than 5 minutes in this jurisdiction. It's boring to pray here. I've done it for many years. It's boring to hang out and labor. And that's nothing but the sweat of the brow. It's works. You got to get where he is, where everything's done. Then you start praying. You go like this. Then the angel began to lead me back to the gate, and I protested. I did not want to leave. So much for 5-minute prayer time in that place, huh? Looking surprised, the angel took me by the shoulders and looked me in the eyes because he was protesting. I don't want to leave. He took him by the shoulders. That is when I recognized him as the angel of wisdom. He says, you never have to leave this garden. This garden is in your heart. Because the Creator himself is within you. You desired the best part to worship, but to sit in his presence forever, and it will never be taken from you. Once you reach the Father's love and you can dwell there, say dwell, continuously. Once you reach that place, you're on your way. You're going to be more than a conqueror in this life. You're going to have a great, great reward in heaven. You're not going to be disappointed when you stand before him. You're going to have a full reward because you found his love. Because his love is going to tear down anything that would steal your reward. His love is going to perfect the areas that man could not perfect and you couldn't perfect. Listen, there's some stubborn stuff up inside of us. Our soul's got some stubborn areas that you don't know are there. Some of us got the Mary Poppin thing and we can walk through life. It's that soul that knows how to work with everybody. Mary Poppins has issues too. You just unpeel that thing. Then you got Jack Daniels. He don't know how to do nothing. He can't control himself at all. I was the Jack Daniels. My soul couldn't control nothing before the Lord. But sometimes that's a good thing too because it just lets it go with the Lord, you know. But you got stuff up in there. He's got to unpeel the layers. The love of God, he'll start peeling you like an onion. Each time he peels something, you'll see something brand new revelation of him and a new revelation of you. Sometimes it's an old revelation of you. It's like, oh, that one's gone. Thank God forever. When you start seeing people differently, you start acting differently, you start catching old behaviors and like, I can't believe I've done that that long and never seen that. I had one of those moments this morning. He says, when he opened my eyes, wisdom was still staring at me. With great patience, he continued, you've tasted of the heavenly realm. This is where I want to get this church. This is where he wants to get you. No one ever wants to go back to the battle once they taste of this place. No one ever wants to leave the manifest presence of the Lord. He said, when the apostle Paul came here, he struggled for the rest of his life to whether he should stay or labor for the Lord or return and enter into his inheritance. But his inheritance was magnified the longer he stayed. Now that you have a heart of a true worshiper, you will always want to be here, and you can when you enter into true worship. Now listen to these words. The more focused you are on him, say focused. The more focused you are on him, the more glory you will see, regardless of where you are. When you begin to focus on entering into the kingdom starts to become magnified. The only difference between you and the one sitting next to you is one's focused, one's not. Because you're focusing on the world, that's what you'll see. But you start focusing on Christ, you start focusing into that thing, you start seeing that. You start living in it. It starts dwelling, becomes a living entity. You start dwelling into it, praise the Lord. And it becomes real. And it becomes powerful. And you'll find yourself moving easily into it where you couldn't before. Focus. The acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ. Christ dwells in you. The Father dwells in you. The inheritance dwells in you. In that place you dwell in Christ. In this place he dwells in you. Amen. This morning, very caught up in the Father, something happened. I'm going to tell you straight up, I have never encountered anything like this in 30 years, 29 years of walking with the Lord, not anything of this powerful. He opened that fountain we've been talking about. You know, the one inside you, he said that I'll put a well of life in you. It'll spring up with eternal life. He said out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. When he did, there was such a raw, powerful, I termed it ferocious life. The exhilaration and the intensity and the power that was coming out of that life. I promise you, if there was any devils in a 1 mile radius, they were trembling. There was nothing. You could feel the awesomeness of the living waters of God. You could feel the awesomeness of that life. It only lasted for 15 minutes and he shut the well off. I'm like, what? I thought we were going to walk in there with this thing. He said, I just wanted you to know it's there. And I wanted you to experience what I'm about to do in the earth when I'm going to open my fountain in my people all over the world. He told me something. He said, this fountain comes through my love. Because you got to come into my love. It's on the other side of love. And that's why the church hasn't fully found it. Because it's up in the right hand of God. And he goes, I'm going to open this in the last days. And this living water, the power that was in that water, the awesomeness of that life, because the Father had life in himself, he gave to the Son to have life. It was what was originally gave life to the world in the Garden of Eden. Do not underestimate sin. Sin quenched that life. But that life's going to quench sin. And it's going to quench strongholds. And it's going to quench sickness and disease. And it's going to run right over death. And their life is full of provision. You saw that, Tina. It's full of everything. And he made me to know when this river starts pouring out, it was more than a river, ferocious life. That's the only way that I could describe the life that was coming up out of that well is ferocious. It was on a mission and nothing would stand in the midst of it. Nothing could stand in the midst of it. It is something the church doesn't presently have moving in the earth. He said, I've reserved it for the last days. I got another water pot. I'm going to turn into the last day wine. I've reserved the best wine for the last. And it's coming out of these fountains. And it's up inside of you. And he's going to turn that thing loose before his return. It's what makes you so dangerous. It's why the devil never wants you to go into that place. It's why there's atmospheric thieves assigned to stop your progression into the kingdom of God. He wants you to stay right here so he can manage you. He doesn't want ever getting up there where God turns that fountain loose. We haven't seen anything like that. Never in my life have I felt anything like it. I preached on it for years. I thought I understood what it was until he opened it for 15 minutes and he shut it off. I said, why did you shut that off? He said, you're not ready for that yet. He said, but you're being prepared as those that are with you. As my whole body is being prepared for that fountain in the last days. But you're going to have to move into the Father's love. He said, it's on the other side of the Father's love. I said, get me in the Father's love more. I walked in the promised land for 15 minutes this morning. I know how he's going to change the world. He's got something reserved. And he's placed it up inside of you. And he's hidden it for a day. And he's going to open the fountain of God. He said he clave the rock in the wilderness and gave him drink out of the great depths. The raw life, ferocious, ferocious fountain. It was on a mission. You're not going to have to work up an anointing in the last days. You're going to work something up and stir it all up and get everybody all primed up. He's going to prime that fountain. He's going to turn it loose. It's going to boil right out of you. The power in it to live in that life. I can only tell you what I experienced for 15 minutes because I've been asking God. I said, God, this is what plagued me, and I'll close with this. I said, God, I'm having revival at home, but revival's not here right now, but it's at home. I'm having revival with you. Used to, I had to get here to get the anointing to get built up. That's what some guys, they get a gift, they get the anointing, so they ride their anointing. They have no prayer life. I said, Lord, when are you going to release what's going on inside there? And when that fountain unlocked for 15 minutes, I'm like, that's how it's going to happen right there. He said, just keep going. He said, tell everybody, keep going. In him we live and move and have our being. He says, any man follow me, let him take up his cross daily. We used to think that was a bad thing. You're only taking up your cross, and now your flesh, its rights to operate here so your spirit can operate there. That's what taking up the cross was. It's not a bad thing. Crucified with Christ. Can't live there. Nevertheless, I live. Yet I, but Christ liveth in me. His fountain's going to burst forth from the Lord's temple. It's going to burst forth. He already given us a taste now. That means he's leading us there. Amen. And I have a lot of word for that. I have a whole series, the blessings in the water. He's going to open his final fountain for the last days. It's up inside you. It's more powerful than you can ever imagine. The life, the ferocious life that was, I can't wait. It's going to get done more in a week, in a month, in a year than we did all our life. It's going to rip through this world system and tear it down for a season in a good way. It's going to flow into the Dead Sea of humanity. Now I understand it. Everything that's dead, it gets in his way, is going to turn to life. It's a ferocious fountain. It's a ferocious life. It's the only way I could describe it. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.
I looked up ferocious, and it means very fierce or violent, very great or extreme. And it goes on to give you other examples. It's almighty, it's deep, dreadful, explosive, exquisite, intense, fierce, yep, profound, vehement, vicious, violent. And you know that scripture says about how the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. You are extreme. You are almighty. You are all powerful, intense, extreme. Just get that inside of your spirit. Extremely ferocious, because the life of God is exploding spontaneously everywhere you go. Just think about that tree of life, the waters, the fruit. That's who you are. Just say that. I am ferocious by the Spirit of the living God who lives inside of me. Glory. Ooh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Rejoice, rejoice. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.
I wanted to share just a testimony that I heard last night that validates what he's talking about, the power behind love in the living waters. And in this testimony, there was a man that his dad was in World War II. He got captured and he was severely tortured. When he came back, he married and had three children, and they didn't know about the post-traumatic stress syndrome back then. But for his son, he began beating him behind closed doors. His wife didn't see it till he was 8 years old, until she found him one day punching the face of her child, and she took the three children away. Well, fast forward, and he ends up, and he he ends up on drugs and things like that. His mom and sister get saved. He gets saved later on, and he's in the kitchen making a bologna sandwich. And all of a sudden, he's transported into this garden. He sees Jesus. And Jesus walks up to him. He said he took grass and he put it in his mouth just to eat it to be sure, like, hey, is this real? And he could taste the grass taste in his mouth. And Jesus said, I love you. And he had him sit down and he said, no, you don't understand. I love you. Then he put his head on his bosom and he said, I love you. And he started weeping the living waters. And so he went into his room. He said he wept so much that his pillow was soaked all the way through. And when he got up, he was completely healed of all, completely 100% delivered of all the hurt and abuse. So later on, his dad, you know, they've been estranged. About 8 years later, he goes to this picnic and his dad is there and he hears the Holy Spirit say, go up to your dad and say, Dad, I forgive you. And he thought, oh no, you know, he started thinking about, you know, the things that had happened to him. So finally, he walked up to his dad and he said, Dad, I forgive you. And his dad's face was still kind of, you know, and he said, okay, now I want you to put your arm around him. And he thought, oh no, if I put my arm around him, he could do a, like a left hook, you know, a right hook, a jab into my chest. So he said, okay. So he put his arm around him, and that love, which is transferable, the power of God, went through his dad's body. And he hit the ground and he started weeping and crying and repenting. And the picnic's going on. And for 5 minutes, they are embracing and they're both weeping and crying and embracing. And God delivered his dad completely at that moment and restored their relationship from that day on to a relationship of love where they would kiss and hold and love one another. So I want to tell you that this is a right on word from God. Only God could have given Pastor LaRue that word. And he did not know what was in the final quest. And when I re-listened to it, I thought, oh my goodness, he is tracking totally with going up the mountain of God, getting something on top of you, the glory of God, the love of God, so that you can come down and do battle on this earth. It's a right on word.
So, Father, we thank you for your great love resting upon us. In this house, we thank you, Father, for unlocking us. Thank you, Father, for faith to enter, faith to access, faith to dwell. Our faith now, Father, must dwell with you. Faith to dwell, to release that in this house, Father. Father, where there's been control in this house, let there be 100 full measure of love. Father, let love fill the foundations of this house. Let your glory cover and be the crown of this house. Let your likeness be in the midst of this house, Lord. It's your likeness that we want. It's your love that we come to dwell in. It's your love that we dwell in, Father. Cover us. Clothe us in this place. Your great love. Stretch forth. Stretch forth your canopy over us, Father. Bring us into the safety. Bring us into the fullness, Father. Bring us to the place you can open your great fountain to the world. The fountain of Christ, Father. They'll not see man. Not in that water. They'll see you only. That water is reserved for the last days. That water will glorify the Son. That water will reap its harvest. Oh, you cover us, Father. You fill us in this house. You fill us in this place. We worship you.